Welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Right Way. Today's episode is with Rachel Harris, and Rachel Harris is the HR consultant here at Right Way. Rachel has an extensive background in HR across a number of different industries, ranging from organisations like the Dunedin City Council to the Canterbury District Health Board. Rachel also brings out a unique perspective for business owners, as she was a business owner herself operating in the hospitality sector, as Rachel operated a cafe for a number of years. Staff and HR has been one of the main topics through the COVID-19 crisis that we're facing in New Zealand. Over the last few weeks, Rachel's phone has been non-stop off the hook as she deals with questions from business owners on their staff, HR issues, and also the government's wage subsidy and how it applies and works for their business. So as Rachel's been on the front line working with business owners, we thought it'd be a great idea to get her on the podcast so she can share her ideas. In today's conversation with Rachel, we cover a couple of topics and we also go off on a few tangents. But we go over the biggest challenges that businesses are facing at the current time, and especially around the employment set in an employment sense and with the wage subsidy. What are the key themes or questions that Rachel's received from business owners? The misconceptions that are out there, and also starting to look forward as companies are in this lockdown period, what should they be thinking of to move forward? So I hope you enjoy today's podcast. If you do, please subscribe where you are listening to this podcast. And if you want to keep up to date, listen, check out all our social media platforms. In particular, check out Facebook, where we have the Facebook Right Way Facebook Business Hub page, which has ongoing information through this uncertain period. Hey, Rach, how are you going?
Good, thank you, Stuart. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining me today. Look, for the purpose of the podcast, we're recording this on day two of our lockdown. It's Friday, mm-hmm. the 27th, and I guess we've coming out of what now has been a pretty hectic week for most businesses and most business owners, and especially a period in the last 2 weeks where the world's been changing so quickly. And I guess to start with, Rach, I guess how have you dealt with what's going on? Because I know your phone's been off the hook, and sort of what
yep.
how have you dealt with that change in pace that this thing has, I guess, created and put on the country?
Perfectly. I've actually been surprisingly uplifted by this whole situation. I mean, almost without exception, the business owners that I've spoken with are coming across incredibly stoic. They're understandably anxious, and they're hurting. Absolutely no doubt there. You know, I've just been struck with how calmly they're working through what they need to do. It's been a privilege to talk to these people and actually listen to their situations and how they're working through what they've got in front of them. So, you know, to all business owners and employers out there, you're doing what you need to do under incredibly trying circumstances. And, you know, I read something somewhere yesterday that I think is really accurate. You're not competitors anymore. You're actually colleagues in this. So, you know, reach out to each other if you need to, and, you know, share stories, I think is really important.
Yeah, and I do get a sense of that. I think you know, one of the things that me and Greg talked about in our previous podcast that was all around kind of cash flow earlier in this week was, you know, through this process where we know that all businesses are doing it tough, cash flow is being reduced, mm-hmm. is that having open dialogue with your suppliers, your customers, yeah. and just being really open and transparent where you're at, what you can do, what works for them, so we can all get through this together. You know, and the more we can work together, the more people we get on the other side, the better it will be for all businesses long term, isn't it, really? So I
absolutely.
Think you're right. That changing nature of how we've just got to hunker down together and get through mm-hmm. this, and we'll be better as a collective rather than individuals in a lot of ways, really.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I guess a good place to start, Rach, is, you know, you have been talking to business owners probably non-stop for the last 2 weeks, and I know your phone has mm-hmm. been red hot. With this very unique time, like what are the biggest challenges that are that businesses are facing? Because it will, I guess, there'll be some individual aspects to that, but there'll be some trends for industry,
And especially, yep. I guess, with your expertise, you know, staff is what the theme is of today. So what are the biggest challenges that businesses are facing in that employment sense at the moment?
Without a doubt, it is a business's ability to meet that 80 minimum normal wage that the government outlined as part of the relief package yep. that was released back on the 17th of March. That is huge. And I think owners have really got that in their head, they need to do the right thing and do that. So by now, we're becoming pretty familiar with that package. You know, a business who meets the criteria can apply online to receive $585.80 per week for every employee working 20 hours or more a week. And they also get, you know, $350 a week for an employee working fewer than 20 hours a week. And that subsidy is available for a period of 12 weeks from the 17th of March when that package was released. But when that package was announced on the 17th, we were at a stage when businesses were still operating. The situation yep. has evolved dramatically, as we all well know, and the goalposts have shifted. So, you know, most businesses are in a lockdown situation now for 4 weeks, possibly longer, and they just simply don't have the cash flow to top up an employee's wage to that 80% minimum. So, I mean, we're still hopeful that the government will announce a further enhancement to that package, or at least a relaxing of that 80% criteria. And that will make it more realistic for employers to meet their obligations. But, you know, in the meantime, it's important to remember that it's about making best efforts to retain employees and to pay them the minimum of 80% of their normal income for that, you know, that subsidised period. Yeah. And, you know, it's just not always possible despite best efforts. And that's what I'm finding. And that more often than not, employers are just simply not able to reach that minimum. And they just need to, you know, accept that and let it go. And, you know, that's just the state of the nation for them, really. So almost all the conversations I'm having with business owners have been around that issue, meeting that minimum and how they can best attempt to meet their obligations while under such tight financial constraints. And we're finding most of the time, as I say, it's simply not possible. So I work through employees' options with them. And that's pretty much the crux of the challenge that's coming through at the moment.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I've seen with talking, I've dealt with a few customers and obviously with the rest of the staff, talked about different client situations is, it's not one size fits all this, is it? There is yes, this scheme is very much a blanket approach around wages and stuff, but how that applies to the different business owners, the industries that are in their situation is it's quite complex, isn't it, Rachel?
It is very much so. Yep, absolutely. And we're getting some employers who, you know, simply can't pay it at all, and we're getting others who are meeting 100% because, you know, they simply can. And obviously the bigger the company, that, you know, the more ability they've got to do that. But you've just got to accept that, you know, it's not a failing if you can't, it's just reality, and, you know, box on.
Yep, exactly. So what obviously, you've had a lot of business owners in contact with you over the last 2 weeks. What are those key themes or questions that you've had coming through from business owners? And obviously, there's the wage subsidy stuff, but there's probably much more than just that. So what are the key questions and themes that people are asking you, Rachel?
Yeah. So actually, it's one of the biggest ones is how to actually use that wage subsidy in practice.
Yes.
So, you know, one business owner, she applied for the wage subsidy late last week when it was, you know, sort of first announced. And, you know, $100,000 appeared in her account overnight. And she was like, you know, it was really overwhelming for her. And she just simply didn't know what to do with it. So I'm finding that this week, like at Rightway, we have a bookkeeping team who also provide outsourced payroll for business owners. So they've been a huge help to customers who are unsure just what to do. Otherwise, they've been helping customers through. So just, you know, working out who gets what each week and how much of a top-up needs to occur, or if a top-up isn't possible, what else could be done for that employee? And there's a variety of options there, you know, to greater or lesser extent. Another one that's come through just this week is we've had, I've had a couple of businesses who have previously made offers of employment to candidates, and they now have employees waiting to start. So I talk through what their options are. On one occasion, we've rescinded the offer of employment, and there is still a process to follow, even though the employee hasn't started. And at the other time, the employer has actually decided to honour that offer, but the employee has, you know, they've spoken to the employee in waiting, and the employee's agreed to take leave without pay until the business returns to normal. And in that particular case, the employer had done, you know, they've thought about it. They'd actually included that employee as part of the application for the employees on leave without pay, but they're also getting that subsidy of $585 a week, which is a really cool thing to do. You know, the employee's not left out in the cold, and the employer has acknowledged that, you know, going forward, they're still going to need that person, you know, once the recovery starts to kick in. Another significant theme coming through is that of redundancy. Remember that part of the commitment that an employer makes when receiving that government relief package is that they will make best efforts to retain employees. So, but, you know, redundancy is always the last resort. So we work through ways of avoiding that. You know, I had a situation yesterday where a customer phoned me because they thought they needed to make three positions redundant. You know, they're pretty adamant about it. But when we actually took through their life, the business, how they wanted to recover post-pandemic, we worked out an alternative plan, which meant the employer could actually continue to pay those three employees for at least the lockdown period after all. And again, she just couldn't work out how to use that employer subsidy. And it, you know, she, once we worked it through, she went, oh, I'm okay. So it's important just to breathe and, you know, work through what needs to be done and look at different options. And of course, you know, back on topic, the other key theme is how to reach that 80% minimum and the options available if they can't. And I just noticed we had a question in the last couple of days from Courtney on our Business Hub Facebook page. And she was asking whether or not employers could use leave to top the subsidy up, for example. So now, I mean, I can probably talk about that now if that's a good time just to cover that off. So if what can you do if your cash flow is tight and you simply can't meet that 80% top up? So first of all, I'd really encourage employers and business owners out there just to get in touch with me and we can talk through their workforce and actually sort of detail out their workforce and who you've got, what you've got, what your subsidy is, that sort of thing. And I can make sure that those subsidy payments are correctly allocated. I'm actually finding, and this seems quite ironic, that some employers are actually ending up with a surplus each week out of that subsidy because they might have received $350 for a part-timer who might only work $100, earn $100 a week. So suddenly they've got $250 spare. And so they can use that top up maybe a full-timer where that's short. So it's about sort of just looking at the overall picture. Now, if shortfall is still out of reach for your business, then you can approach your employees and propose that they take leave without pay. So that is absolutely acceptable. Or alternatively, the employee may like to take annual leave to supplement their income, or they may be prepared to temporarily reduce their hourly rate. It's about making best efforts. So explore the options with your employees. Communicate with them in good faith. But the key point to note is you cannot make unilateral changes to an employee's terms and conditions without giving them sufficient information and an opportunity to comment on what you're proposing. So, for example, you can't make an employee take leave without pay. You can't make them take annual leave. You must recommend, and that's quite a lot of the, I'm reviewing a few letters and things for employers, and a lot of the time they're saying, we are going to put you on annual leave. No, you can't actually do that. You've got to talk to them and reach agreement around that. If you can't reach agreement, then unfortunately you may face a situation where you need to consider disestablishing their position and making that employee redundant. However, always remember you will need to retain employees for the recovery period post COVID-19. So you know, I'm really trying to encourage employers to avoid that redundancy situation wherever possible and do whatever they can to try and retain that employee.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point, Rach, about the sort of dialogue with your staff. Like, you've got to put that in some sort of good process, but you've got to lay out the options available here, haven't you?
Like, correct.
It can't just be, you can't just say, oh, this is what's going to happen.
No.
And whether it's, oh, we're just going to reduce your wage or whatever, you've got to have open dialogue. Look, I think the one thing that, you know, I've heard from customers and also even in our own businesses, you know, people, this is touching every part of New Zealand. Everyone is aware. So, I think in some ways it's very different to the GFC. You know, the GFC was kind of banks failing and kind of it was over in America or whatever, but it was a slow burning thing. Whereas this, everyone's been affected. We're all in our houses at the moment and can't move. So I think everyone's kind of a lot more aware of what the situation we're facing, how that affects people's jobs. So I think dialogue and conversation is
absolutely important.
Would that be, but obviously in a good process, structured way. I guess the caveat there, Rach, with all the
absolutely, that's the one.
so one question I had yesterday, and I know Rach, you dealt with this customer, was when people are on an hourly rate, and how, you know, where they might have fluctuations week to week slightly on what that means. So with the wage subsidy and someone on an hourly rate versus a fixed term salary, how do you work out what then you should be paying them? Say it's a hospitality business, which is I know is one that's been a lot of talk in the press, but they're obviously closed down, they're not open, but they want to retain their staff and obviously meet a minimum of 80%. How do they work out what 80% is based on an hourly rate sort of position?
Yes. I mean, it is quite complex for employers to get their head around, and I think the important, I mean, from my perspective, I'm trying to make my advice as consistent as possible. So then at least, you know, you've got something to go back to. And so my recommendation to business owners or employers is to have a look at the last 4 weeks and have a look at what the last 4 weeks look like for each employee. So, you know, we've been able to work out pretty accurately what an employee would likely have got each week for the last 4 weeks, and based it on that. And I think that's best endeavours, really. And that's what we would normally go with, you know, average earnings and that sort of thing. You'd look at the previous 4 weeks. So that's my rule of thumb in this particular situation.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I guess on those key themes of question, was there any other parts or areas that you wanted to cover off there, Rach, on those key questions that are coming through from business owners?
No, they're very much following all a similar theme, but just obviously each circumstance is slightly different and each business is in a slightly different situation. But generally, you know, they're not alone with their concerns because, you know, they're, you know, many are sharing exactly the same concerns. It's just slightly painted slightly differently.
Yeah. And I think I know this sounds obvious, but I think it is, and we're going into misconceptions in a little bit, but I think the key part around the wage subsidy obviously is that 80% of making sure you get up to an 80% level, which I think is, I wouldn't say it's been missed in the sort of communications and stuff, but I think it's obviously an important part of what this is about.
Yeah, it's quite critical,
And also, this is for wages. It cannot be used for anything else. It's the other key point to be made.
That's right.
I think is very hard when you've got, as you said, $100,000 in your bank account. You've got a bunch of bills. Yes, you've got your wages and stuff. It's very hard not to use that money.
And what I'm saying to business owners, like we've had, I had one yesterday, for example, they had applied for the subsidy, but they also had somebody on a trial period and we actually ended up concluding that trial period. And I said to the employer, look, ring fence that subsidy, don't touch it. You may end up re-employing in 3 weeks' time and you can use that subsidy for that person, but just don't spend it. Just put it to one side, pretend it's not there. And then if at any point in the future, you know, you come under some sort of an audit, you've got it there and you haven't touched it.
Yeah, because I think that's a really good point there you've made, Rach, because I was talking to a customer about this and said, look, if you can open just and most online banking accounts, you can sort of get a sub account if you need to, is put the funds into the sub account so you can completely siphon it off and it's sort of got ring fence, as you said. But I think the other point is we don't know what's going to happen on the other side of this. And as you said, look, we have no idea if everyone's going to come and get back and get audited on the money they've been given. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And look, I think there is no doubt that part of what the government has been about here is getting a system that, they've got out, which has been fast. The infrastructure, I think, has been incredible about how quickly people have been paid. But there is still some grey around it. And I think we've just got to make sure we are, as you said, doing best things around best practice around this so that whatever comes out the other side, when people come and do reviews or audits, we've got a good paper trail. Because I think that's the big part. Mm-hmm. And you can understand because people are just trying to get 3 weeks at the moment, not necessarily years. Yeah. So I can understand that. Right? Yeah. And I guess that leads nicely onto the next sort of topic, Rach, is there is a lot of misconceptions out there. And I think in this modern world of social media and the news is on all the time and online, we're always connected. And that in some ways means there's lots of noise. And I think noise can sometimes be a bad thing because it can breed some misconceptions. I've heard lots of things of double check your sources on social media when you're reading stuff about COVID-19 because there's a lot of bad stuff. So what are some of the misconceptions that you've experienced and sort of had to clarify with business owners over the last few weeks?
I mean, they follow this, the themes really. The biggest is probably that the wage subsidy is insufficient to cover an employer's payroll. And as I've mentioned, some employers are finding they will actually have a surplus or at least a surplus with part-timers that they can reallocate to subsidising a full-timer where there is a shortfall. So yeah, it's just so important to work through. And I have a bit of a nutted out a bit of a formula now for how to detail your employees, you know, their earnings, the subsidy, and you know their hours, how much you've got, deduct it, and you know, yesterday I have found that, you know, one particular employer, she had, you know, $500 and something a week surplus, and she was needing to get she was needing to look at perhaps bringing somebody else on because she's an essential service within a food supply chain, and she could actually use that surplus to be able to pay for somebody else to come and assist her when her incumbents couldn't because they were in lockdown and or not prepared to work or not able to work. So, you know, it's some cases there is a little bit of a silver lining there. So just, you know, the opportunities that you can get. The other misconception almost is a byproduct of that is the fact that redundancies need to be made. There are a variety of options that do not involve redundancy. And remember, we will get through this and you need your workforce to still be there for you, particularly if they're skilled. You don't want them to disappear off to another employer in due course. You know, if they're good employees, you want them back and you want to be able to retain them. So keep them on your payroll and do whatever you have to do that's palatable to both of you to keep them there. Yes. And I guess the other third key misconception is the fact that you can just make unilateral changes to an employee's terms and conditions. Always communicate and consult with your employees. You can't impose your decisions on them that affect their employment. You can't take them to tell. So you can't tell them to leave. You're reducing their hourly rate, and you can't tell them that they're no longer needed, not without consulting with them first. So, look, if in doubt, give me a call, send me an email, and I can talk you through if you're a little bit unsure or you've got something that you've drafted up for an employee and then you think, oh, I'm just not sure if that worded is correctly. More often than not, I do have to tweak things, so better to be safe than sorry. And, you know, for the sake of a 5-minute, you know, wordsmithing or review, just flick it to me and, you know, we can make sure it's nice and tight and compliant.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because yes, we're in this unique circumstances that the world's facing and New Zealand's facing, but it doesn't change employment law through that process.
They think things have relaxed, but no, they have not relaxed. And just you don't want to be bitten down the track because you've used the wrong word somewhere. Yeah.
But I think excellent point there, Rach, on good people. Like, good people are hard to come by, and we all have key staff members, and we know that there's going to be some really tough conversations that business owners are going to have to face as we get through this thing. But to get out the other side, which we're all hopeful will be happening as soon as it can, but you're going to need your good staff to help build back your business, don't you? And so how you treat your staff and how you work through this, your staff dictates what comes out on the other side, and you are going to be needing those people to more than ever to get your business back up to where it was and beyond.
I mean, they're predicting quite a strong demand once this is all lifted, so you know, businesses need to be prepared to hit the ground running again, and let's hope it does become that way, because you know, that'll assist hugely.
So as we move through this lockdown period, and obviously we're all aware it's 4 weeks, and we don't know if it's going to be longer or if certain regions will come out of it sooner than others. But what should owners been thinking about this time? There's a bunch of business owners that, you know, can't do much. There's a bunch that are operating full force because, as you said, they might be in a crucial service. So what are things that business owners can be thinking about?
I think the phase that we're going through at the moment, and I think we're starting to come out the other side, is the active phase. happening. We've had very little, well, you know, we had 48 hours notice or whatever that it was going to happen. What do we do? So this week has been full on employees sort of in the place where they need to be able to cope with that lockdown period. So I think that this next phase is actually really, really important. So as you mentioned, we're currently in a four-week lockdown phase, maybe longer. At this stage, the government relief package is available for 12 weeks only. So from the 17th of March, you know, there's 10 weeks or whatever remaining of that. We don't know how this situation is going to play out, nor do we know what further assistance is going to be there from the government or what this might look like. So the advice I'm giving to business owners is to plan and anticipate continuously through this whole situation. So at, say, week two or three of the lockdown, I'd encourage employers out there to assess how things are going. So think, you know, what's happening out in the world, what's happening in New Zealand, what is the Ministry of Health telling us, what are they anticipating? And think about what you might do if the lockdown is extended for, say, a further week or 2 weeks or a month. You know, what could you manage in terms of maintaining your workforce? Be really, really conservative and plan for the worst because, you know, we just don't know at this point.
Yes.
If you don't already have a close down period during the year, say at Christmas or New Year, you could put in place a temporary close down. So think about, you've got to provide 2 weeks or 14 days notice of a close down. So maybe think about, you know, you could put in place a close down for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, when this is over. So just start to think about what that could mean and what your employees will need to do. But you can only have one close down period per year. So think whether that could be an option. You may already have one flagged for Christmas, New Year, and, you know, you don't have another one. As time goes on, if redundancies are looking more likely, get in touch with me in advance and we can start to get your ducks in a row so we can prepare the process that might be needed. And really, this is just to ensure that there is no lag in timing, which just creates unnecessary wage costs when, you know, at a time they need to be really carefully managed. So, for example, if we get to the end of the lockdown, the government decides to extend it, then you decide you need to make redundancies. By the time you consult and give notice to your staff, you may incur up to, you know, a month in additional costs and angst that you could have avoided. So, as I say, just keep monitoring, keep thinking ahead, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ahead, what might happen if that happened, or, you know, just have different scenarios playing out, and what each scenario might mean. Keep communicating with your employees during the lockdown and be open with them. If you think you're going to have to review arrangements, put yourself in the shoes of your employees. As an employee, if you were the employee, you are very likely to want to know how things are tracking for the business, so you can plan your own financial commitments and those of your family. You know, and it's not about scaring them. It's about saying, look, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have to arrange that, because we may not be able to sustain that top up post lockdown. So, you know, we'll pay you 80% now, or we'll pay you 60% now, but, you know, we may not be able to sustain that in 4 weeks' time. So we will come back to you then and let you know where things are, you know, how things are looking. So don't commit yourself to the longer term. Just make sure your staff know that, you know, things are perilous in some places, and that you need to be able to just be agile about this, and but you will keep them in the loop as to how things are tracking, so they too can make plans for themselves if they need to, and maybe access wins if they need to get some sort of a supplementary benefit to help them out.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I was just thinking back, Rach, to the podcast me and Greg did on cash flow, that do not wait the 11th hour to have these conversations with your staff, it'll be too late. We've got to, as you said, I think the biggest thing Greg said about from the cash flow thing is you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a plan of this period and the period after. What's coming in, what's going out, what can you adjust and look at stuff that maybe, you know, costs that you can reduce so you can keep your staff. But if you know that there's going to be a pinch point, you cannot wait to that pinch point to act, it'd be fair, because there is a process you've got to run with your staff. And then, as you said, part of it is respecting your staff and giving them all the information in due time to think about and consider what's being proposed. But if you wait to the last pay run and go, oh, I'm not sure if I can pay that. Oh, maybe I need to make some changes.
That's too late.
That's going to be too late.
Yes. Or it's just going to cause you so much angst that you could just do without. It's So get in early.
Yeah, very true. Absolutely. Very true. So, like, before we wrap up, Rach, any sort of final comments or pearls of wisdom as we go through this process.
Probably a couple of key tips that I haven't mentioned before now, just off the top of my head. Make sure whatever you do, if you make any changes to an employee's terms and conditions, make sure it's in writing. Don't rely on the verbal. So, you know, you could, I know obviously at the moment it's really hard to, you know, draw up a letter and give it to a staff member because they're in lockdown and then they're not available. But, you know, it can be as straightforward as an email to the employee. Give them the opportunity to seek independent advice. That's still really important. And time to consider the change that you're proposing before they formally indicate their agreement back to you. So, you know, if you're saying, look, this is the situation, I would like to propose you go on leave without pay for the next 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. Have a think about this. You know, maybe can you get back to me within the next couple of days? Give them a time frame. Let them know, look, you're welcome to seek some advice around this. But otherwise, if you, you know, agree to this, you know, just let me know by return email. Just keep it simple at the moment. But as long as you have that trail of record, then that's really important for you. The other thing that's come out of our bookkeeping and payroll team this week too, it's really important, is recommend coding the government subsidy, that payment, in your payroll system to something like, and this is what one of the payroll solutions are using, is COVID-19 relief payment, just as an example of what you might call it. So this creates an audit trail and makes it really clear to the employee what their wages are made up of. If you just put $585 through into someone's bank account and they come back to you and say, actually, you know what, I'm contracted for 40 hours. You've only paid me $585. You've deducted PAYE off that. That's not even the you know, they might have a claim. But if you ring fence it and make it really clear on the employee's payslip and in the system that's exactly what it is, it's a relief payment, and the rest of the hours are leave without pay or annual leave or whatever, then it makes it really crystal clear down the track, and there should be no cause for an employee to come back and make a claim because it all looks a little bit grey, you know. So, they're probably the two key tips on top of what we've already talked about.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rach. And just for all the listeners, we will put Rachel's contact details in the show notes, which will be on obviously the podcast, so you can access Rachel's email and all that sort of stuff. But thanks again, welcome, Rach, for today and all that valuable information.
Excellent. No problem at all.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Right Way. If you want more information about Right Way, simply go to www.rightway.co.nz, or you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We've also got our Facebook group, the Right Way Business Hub, which has got a lot of resources and content to help business owners through this period. Also, feel free to subscribe where you're listening to this podcast, as we're trying to update and get more episodes every week.